Come into the temple of mind, O Kripalji. Come into the temple of mind. Embrace me, O Kripalji. Come into the temple of mind. Sanchi's Bhajan, Manna Mandir de Me Ao, page 257. O Lord, you shower grace on everyone. You are called as the one who looks at everyone equally. Ganaka, Gita, Ajamal, whoever took refuge in your feet, you liberated them. You are a philosopher's stone. I am iron, O Satguru. Convert me to gold. Nothing is difficult for you. You are the owner of three worlds. O omnipresent, all-conscious one, put your gracious hand on my head. At least now, liberate me from this wheel of birth and death. O Satguru, you like the devotion and love. You have embraced everyone. Whoever called for you, you have removed their difficulties. I am wandering for ages. At least now, show me the way. I am a sinner for millions of births. I am your forgetful jiva. Do not send me to any other door. I'm a suffering one. The forgetful soul is wandering. Make Ajab reach home. Come into the temple of mind, O Kripalji. Come into the temple of mind. Embrace me, O Kripalji. Come into the temple of mind.
Man mandir me aao kripal ji, man mandir me aao, mujhko gale lagao kripal ji, man mandir me aao, man mandir me aao kripal ji, man mandir me aao, mujhko gale lagao kripal ji, man mandir me aao. Sab par daya kari prabh tumne samdarshi hai naam tumhara, samdarshi hai naam tumhara. Gan ka gida ajamal jo bhi charan sharan me aaya tara, charan sharan me aaya tara. Tum paras milo ha satguru, tum paras milo ha satguru, sorn mujhe banao. Man mandir me aao kripal ji, man mandir me aao, mujhko gale lagao kripal ji, man mandir me aao. Tumko kuch bhi khati nahi hai, tum triloki ke swami, tum triloki ke swami. Rakh do sir par hat daya ka, gat gat vasi antaryami, gat gat vasi antaryami. Janam maran ke is chakar se, janam maran ke is chakar se, ab tum mukt karao. Man mandir me aao kripal ji, man mandir me aao, mujhko gale lagao kripal ji, man mandir me aao. Bhakti bhav ke bhuke satguru, sabko gale lagaya tumne, sabko gale lagaya tumne. Jisne tujhe pukara satguru, sankat mukat karaya tumne, sankat kumakat karaya tumne. Jugon jugon se bat kar raha hun, jugon jugon se bat kar raha hun, ab to raha dikhao. मन मंदिर में आओ कृपाल जी मन मंदिर में आओ मुझको गले लगाओ कृपाल जी मन मंदिर में आओ मैं हूँ पापी कोट जन्म का भूला जीव तुम्हारा भूला जीव तुम्हारा अब न भेजो और द्वारे में दुखिया हाँ बारा में दुखिया हाँ बारा भूली आत्मा बत कर रही है भूली आत्मा बत कर रही है अजब को घर पहुँचाओ मन मंदिर में आओ कृपाल जी मन मंदिर में आओ मुझको गले लगाओ कृपाल जी मन मंदिर में आओ
O Satguru, you like the devotion and love. You have embraced everyone. Whoever called for you, you have removed their difficulties. I am wandering for ages. At least now, show me the way. Come into the temple of mind, O Kripalji. Come into the temple of mind. Embrace me, O Kripalji. Come into the temple of mind. Well, our satsang today concludes our meditation retreat that we have held in remembrance of Master Kripal's founding of this ashram in 1963. Just like the bhajan, whoever called for you, you know, there were souls here that were calling. Their souls wanted the Master. And he came to this little place out in the middle of nowhere. And out of the middle of nowhere, I mean, look what we've got. We've had this ashram, and so much has been given out here. The Master knew that there were more souls that were going to be coming. And so he came. So what I'm going to read is the talk that Master gave in Franklin, New Hampshire, at the Unitarian Church, on the evening of October 11th, 1963. It was Master's first day here. It was the first talk that he ever gave, and it amounted to the founding event of this ashram. So this talk was called The Yoga of the Attention. It's in the October 1978 Satbani magazine. So Master says, and also let me make mention that there were a handful of initiates in the crowd, but most of the crowd was made up of people in the local area, not initiated. Master was talking to people who may have heard of this master and were interested and wanted to come and see what is this about. So he's talking to a group of people who are interested. So he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I am a man like you. Of course, I had the good fortune to sit at the feet of my master, Baba Sawan Singh of Beas, through whose grace I solved the mystery of life. Religions were made by man for his moral and spiritual uplift. These were made for man, and man was not made for them. The purpose of joining a religion is to know God, which is the highest ideal before us. And the human body is the golden opportunity we have got in which we can know him, and no other body. So all of us who are sitting here, we are fortunate that we have got the human body. And we have also joined various religions to achieve that object of life, which we have got before us. We have to see now how far we have succeeded in achieving the object of life which is before us. The time does come when we have to leave the body. Body is not permanent. It is made of matter. Matter is made of elements and atoms. It's a composition of so many things. This will decompose sometime. So matter is changing, you see, and we are the indweller of the body, the human body. We are not the body, but we are the indweller of the body. And what are we? We are conscious entities, conscious beings. Conscious beings, our own selves, you might say, are made of one substance only, and that is consciousness. What is made of one substance, naturally, that has not to decompose or disintegrate. So this is everlasting, unchanging. But the body which we are carrying, that is changing every moment of life. It has been said that the very particles of our bones are replaced, renewed, in 7 years. So the whole universe is also made of matter, and matter is changing at the same speed as our body, which is made of matter, is changing. Well, God is all consciousness. That also is made of one substance, and, as such, cannot be decomposed or disintegrated. That is everlasting. So, God is everlasting, unchangeable permanence, and similarly, our soul, being of the same essence as that of God, is also eternal. But the body that we are carrying, that is changing. You'll find all masters have said the same thing in their own language. Swamiji tells us, well, all souls, those are the essence of something which is eternal. Similarly, in Corinthians it is said, we are spirit in man. As the spirit is everlasting, why do we fear that we have to die? We are also eternal. So our soul being a conscious entity, its true home is naturally the one which is all consciousness, the true home of the Father. But it has been entwined with mind and matter and outgoing faculties, identified with them, so much so that we cannot differentiate ourselves from the body. And body is changing. We have identified ourselves with the body, but we now think that we are everlasting because of a reflection of God within us. We never think of dying. Soul can never die, but it has to leave the body someday. We see, our daily experience shows, that a person works so long as the soul is in the body. And we are in the body so long as some controlling power is keeping us in the body. The human body is a wonderful house to live in. It has got 9 apertures, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, mouth, and the genital organs. But we cannot run away out of it. It's a wonderful house we live in. Breathing goes out, and it is again pushed back into the body. It cannot remain outside. There is some power controlling it back into the body. That very controlling power is known as God. It is called by so many different names, God, and so many others. So in the human body, we can know God. But first, we have to know ourselves, because it is only the soul who can know God. Like knows the like. But we are so much identified, as I told you, with mind and matter and outgoing faculties, that we cannot differentiate ourselves from the body. We say so many things, I am not the body, I am not the intellect, I am not the vital airs. But can we analyze ourselves? We say, it is my coat, it is my watch, it is my hat. We can put it off at will. And we also say, this is my body. Can we shake it off? But we do see the time does come when we have to leave the body. And this body is carried by people to the cremation place or to the grave, according to the customs prevailing in all religions. So what is that which is enlivening the body and that we are? All masters say that this world is temporary, not lasting. We are all under a grand delusion, the learned and the unlearned, old and young, rich and poor. Now we see why we are under the grand delusion, because we have not known ourselves. We are the indwellers of the body. The body is changing at the same rate, at the same speed, as the whole world is changing. It is made of matter at the same speed. As we are identified with the body, which is changing, and the whole world is made of matter and is also changing, we think when two things are moving at the same speed that those who are identified with them, they say that they are stationary. You may take two trains which are alike. We are sitting in the trains, and the trains are going the same way, both at the same speed. Sometimes it does happen. The man sitting in one train says, well, we are sitting here, although both trains are going fast. So this is the delusion which we have to correct. Guru Nanak says, so long as we do not know ourselves, we are all in a great delusion. How can you come out of that delusion? Simply, if you know how to leave the trains. If one, sitting in the train, goes out of the train, now he says, it is going fast. So this is the delusion, you see, in which we all are. That has been the slogan with all masters who came in the past. Christ said, know thyself. And Guru Nanak also said the same thing, which I have just quoted to you. And the Upanishads say, know thyself. The old Greeks also laid down the same thing, gnose seatum. So the purpose is, masters come to awaken. Well, O man, you are identified with the body and the outgoing faculties and enjoyments so much so that you have forgotten yourself. The human body is the highest in all creation, in which we can know ourselves. And how? By coming out of this delusion, by self-analysis, by rising above body consciousness. So, how to do it? That's the point. We do leave the body someday, all, no exception to the rule. But if we know how to leave the body now, then the mystery of life is solved. If we know how to leave the body, we will come to know what that power is which is controlling us in the body. We become conscious co-workers of the divine plan. All masters have been saying that. Maulana Rumi says, where love is sown, there you are the resident of the true home of your Father, which is everlasting, unchangeable permanence. You are stuck fast in dust, in matter. Why don't you awake? And then he says, it is a shame for you, he uses the word shame, being the son of God, being the daughter of God, you see, away from your home, you are led away by mind and outgoing faculties, away, far away from him. And where you are, just in a foreign country, you forget your home altogether. So think of the home, of who you are, and how can we do that? You will find in the scriptures, "Be still and know that you are God." We are spirit and man. We are conscious entities, but we are identified with mind and body and outgoing faculties, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. One saint says that you have committed a heinous crime against your own self. And what is that heinous crime? That you are the indweller of the body and you have forgotten the indweller, your own self. Now, whatever we are doing, we are doing at the level of the human body. A small child of 3-4 years old, if you would ask him who he is, then he opens his eyes, he opens his mouth, he has a feeling of something there. As he grows in years, if you ask him, "Who are you?" he will say, "I am Mr. Smith, Mr. Joseph. I am American, I'm French, I'm German, I am Indian." He has forgotten who he is. So this is the delusion, you see, forgetfulness, you might say, or ignorance, from which we have to come out. And that you can come out, and that you can come out of, only when you analyze yourself. All masters who have been coming have been telling us the same thing, of course in their own language, which was prevalent at the time when they came. We find in the scriptures, "Lay up thy treasures in heaven." Treasures lying here will be eaten by moth and rust. That is a place where no moth nor rust can affect. So we have something to show. And then again, they say, "Unless you lose your own self, you cannot have everlasting life." So we are living a superficial life at the level of man. We have never dipped inside to find what we are, who we are. We are pinning ourselves to the outer casing of the walnut, not caring for the kernel which is within. So, man has three aspects. It has the human body, which is made of matter. It has intellect. And man is soul, you see, embodied soul. We are fortunate we have got the human body, and we have made great progress physically in having outer possessions. Intellectually also, making wonderful inventions. But with all that, whenever we ask of anybody, "Well, how are you getting on spiritually?" what will he speak of? We are leading lives of eat, drink, and be merry, the Epicurean way of life, never caring for our own selves. There are values of life. Some are most important, some are less important, some are the least important. So the human body is the gift of God, the highest rung in creation, the golden opportunity that we have got. Because only in the human body can we know God. Maintain it as long as you can, Kabir says. Once it has passed out of your hands, it's very difficult to get the human body. Old rishis have lived lives. They lived up to 100 years at least. And other masters say, "Well, maintain the horse you are riding on, a strong mind in a strong body." The body must be cared for. It is not to be left alone. But at the same time, we are not the body. We are the indweller of the body. You will find, "Is not the body more than raiment, and life more than meat?" Are the possessions that we have more important to us than our own bodies? And we are still more important than our bodies. The house is on fire, and we escape knowingly. We say, "Thank God I am saved." So our body is more valuable than those possessions. But if in any accident we might break our leg, God forbid, we say, "Thank God I am saved." So our own life is more valuable than the body. Then how are we behaving? We are caring the whole time, for 24 hours of the day and the night, for having possessions outside, for maintaining our body only, never caring a fig for ourselves. Who will tell us that we are wise, you see? So you own, you see, the most valuable treasure in this human body. God has kept it shut up in different boxes, you might say. If you have a valuable diamond, you keep it in one casket, then in another, and then in three. Similarly, God has kept the pearl of great price within us, our own self, and that controlling power which is controlling us in the body. So first is the iron casket, this physical body, and within that is the astral body, and still further we have the causal body. So these are the three caskets. We are just kept inside, being most valuable. But we have to shake off these caskets or coverings to know our own selves. Prophet Muhammad says, "God says, I am the treasure hidden within you." We are God in man. We are spirit in man. When we are able to shake off these caskets, then we know the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. And I and my Father are one. And also, the Son is dyed in the color of the Father. And the Father speaks through the Son. If you have experience, you know, when you shake off this body. So macrocosm is in the microcosm of the body. We have to solve this mystery of life, what we are, who we are. We have a valuable life. We're advanced wonderfully, physically and intellectually, but we have done little or nothing about our own selves. With all these physical advancements, we have just founded so many systems of how to maintain the body and how it works, how it goes out of order and how it can be set right again. We have so many systems, the old Vedic and Unani systems. Then comes allopathy, homeopathy, naturopathy, and others. These are only to maintain your body. Intellectually, we have advanced wonderfully. We can hear voices from thousands of miles through radios. And we can now also see who is speaking through television. Planes have made the world small. In hours, we can traverse from one end of the world to the other. We can also go round the world in an hour or so. It's wonderful. And now we are trying to reach the moon. But with all these advances, are we happy? No. Every man is unhappy. Guru Nanak says, "The whole world is unhappy." And Kabir says, "I have not seen one man who is happy after coming into the human body." And Tulsi says, "All are unhappy, either physically, financially, or mentally." So is there any hope of a man becoming happy? We are all after happiness, is it not? We are earning money. We are having possessions. We are having buildings. We marry. We have children. And only for what? for happiness' sake. But still we don't find happiness. Real happiness is within you. It is the only advancement that we've not been able to achieve, to be happy. The reason is the third side, our own self, the spiritual side, is uncared for. If we say certain prayers or read certain scriptures or perform rites and rituals one way or the other, these are good actions. Reading scriptures, advancing intellectually, we give food to the brain, to the intellect. And with all the physical food, etc., that you've given to the body, you will become physically and intellectually strong. But what have you given to your own soul? There is a bread of life and water of life. If you can have that, you can also become spiritually strong. You see? But wherefrom can we have that bread of life? Tulsi says, well, if you sit at the feet of the Master, you will become happy. You will have the bread of life and the water of life. I hope you remember the incident when Christ Jesus just went to a well. There was a Samaritan lady who had a pitcher full of water over her head, and he asked her to give him some water to drink. But she said, "We are Samaritans. You people have nothing to do with Samaritans. Why are you asking for water?" So what did Jesus say? He said, "Had she known who it was that was asking for water, she would have given it." And then he told her, "This water, when you have drunk it, only slakes your thirst for a while, and then you thirst again. And again you have to drink. But if you had come to me, I would have given you the living water of life, which would have finished your thirst forever." And again he said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And this bread of life I have brought down from heaven. Whoever eats me and drinks me will have everlasting life." So the Master, you see, at whose human pole that God is speaking, who is the mouthpiece of God, can give you the bread of life and the water of life. And what is that bread of life and water of life? You will find, "Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us." Word was made flesh. And what is the Word? God is wordless, absolute God. That had not yet come into being. When it came into expression, into action, then that God in action power is called Word, or Nam, or Shabd. And that is the cause of all creation. You find in the Bible, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The whole creation came about through the Word." You see? And where is that Word? "Thy Word is settled in heaven." This Word is the bread of life, which has come from heaven, you see. Where it has manifested, materialized, at some human pole, he can contact your soul by withdrawing it from mind and matter, and give that bread of life to you. You can be happy only if you have the bread of life and the water of life. I am quoting you these things from the Bible because you people are most conversant with the Bible. Exactly the same words you find in the sayings of other scriptures too, in their own language, of course. So unless or until we get the spiritual food of life, the bread of life, we are not happy. We've made so many inventions that we are now in the danger of atomic war. Thank God that a treaty has just now been signed. But still, our own intellect has gone against us. Had we known ourselves first, All these things would have gone to help humanity. Because we know little or nothing of our own selves, these very things are now hovering around us. Any moment that it starts, the world will end. So in the human body only can we have this bread of life. Who can give you the bread of life? One who is Word made flesh. It is the God in man, the God in action manifested in a man, who can give you a contact with God, the Word. So, for this purpose, we have joined various religions. These are the basic teachings given by all masters, whenever they came. Those who met them, they had the bread of life and the water of life. And how could they have it? By rising above body consciousness, by analyzing oneself from mind and body and outgoing faculties. It is a matter of pure self-analysis. Religion truly means, re means back, ligio comes from ligare, to bind. To bind back our souls to God. This is what is meant by religion. One is the social side of religions. They have got their own customs, their own rites and rituals, their own vehicles of prayer. And they are all good actions. They lay down that we should read scriptures of our own. And what are the scriptures? They are a fine record of the findings or the experiences of the masters who came in the past, that they had with God and in knowing themselves. What things stood in the way, and what were the helping factors. So this is a fine record of all that. You might say, masters speaking through books, create in us an interest to have the same experiences that they had in their lives. Unless we have the same experience, we cannot be fully satisfied. That creates an awakening in us, a desire or a longing in us to know God. And there, their scope ends. They can create an interest, but cannot take us to have the true life experiences that they had. So saying prayers and performing certain rites and rituals, these are good actions. They develop in us a desire and devotion for God. But there, their scope ends. They are good actions. They are for the preparation of the ground. But Kabir says, well, it is a pity that the human body we have got, the highest in all creation, the golden opportunity that we have got. And he says, O soul, awake. If you do not awake now in the human body, when will you awake? You see, the old Vedas say the same thing. Awake, arise, and stop not until the goal is reached. The very words there, you see, the rishis wrote the same words thousands of years back, Kabir only 500 years back. You see, the same words are expressed by Guru Arjan. He says, awake, stand up. You are on the way back to God. Why do you delay? So what is this awakening? We are asleep. We have identified ourselves so much with the body and the outgoing faculties that we are living at the level of body. We are awake outside and asleep within. That controlling power is keeping us in the body, and we don't know it. He is also within us. Guru Arjan says, two brothers are living in the same house, but alas, the brothers do not talk to one another. And who are they? They are our soul and the oversoul above. He is the controlling power keeping us in the body. Another saint says, soul, the oversoul guards us, asleep in the same bed. But the soul is just identified with the outgoing faculty's enjoyments, so much that she's awake outside but asleep within. And God is waiting for that moment when she will open her eyes. God is anxious to help us, but we are quite ignorant of Him. A child is playing outside in the dirt with other children, and the mother is waiting for the child to come back and have food. It is something like that, you see. So that is why the masters say, "Be like little children." For the kingdom of God is for the children, you see. Children, have love for all. If the child of a king and the child of a man going by on the street are left alone, they will embrace each other. They will love each other in joy. There's no duality, no high and low questions, no distinctions. And we people, well, we are rich, we are more learned, we are higher, others are lower. So this is what is meant by becoming a child, you see. What I mean to say is that the ultimate goal before us is to know God. For that purpose, we have joined various religious schools of thought. We have to see whether we have attained that object or not. In all religions, masters have come, you see, and by a parallel study of religions, you will find that all said the same thing, of course in their own language, which was prevalent at the time. So to say that one religion only has the reserved right to know God, history does not prove it. They say the same thing, that we should have respect for all men. And what of the masters? They are speaking. God is speaking through them. I and my Father are one. He who has known the truth, that God power working through a human body, well, he knows the truth. He can let others know the truth. Son knows the Father and others to whom the Son reveals. And Tulsi says, if you want to be happy, then sit at the feet of some master. And what is he? To all intents and purposes, he is a man like you. He has the same two eyes, two ears, two hands, and two feet. He's born in the same way. The inner construction of the body is the same. But there is a vast difference between him and the average man, because our souls are under the control of mind. And mind is under the control of outgoing faculties. And the outgoing faculties are drowned by the enjoyments outside. We are not at our whim and pleasure. We are not free. We're dragged like anything. Excuse me. Suppose there is a house. There is a house lady there, and she has four or five maidservants, and none of them obey her orders. Then what'll be the state of the household? A dilapidated state. Nobody is caring for what the house lady says. So the first thing, those servants given to us must obey our orders. We should not be dragged about by them. They should be under our control. We are the indweller, the house lady, you see. These are the five servants given to us, these outgoing faculties. There are five conscious outgoing faculties working through the gross outgoing faculties. Sight through the eyes. Eyes are just the grosser form. There's audition through the ears, and smell through the nose, and taste through the tongue, touch through the skin. These five servants are dragging us out every moment of our life. Sometimes we feel like we don't want to do something, but we're dragged, like anything, by these outgoing faculties. So we must control these servants first. You must see, but at the same time, if your eyes are open, with them remaining open, you should not see. Have control of your sight. If you've got open ears, you must have control of your ears. Even when sitting in a multitude, you should not hear. Do you know what that is? Attention is the outward expression of our soul, you see? So if from attention these outgoing faculties work, you must have had this experience in day-to-day life. Sometimes you're sitting in a very absorbed state of attention, fully riveted in some thought, and somebody calls you, but you do not hear. Yet your ears are open. Sometimes your eyes are open, like Newton was sitting by the roadside, solving some mathematical problems, and a band went by while playing. Somebody later came up and inquired of Newton, "Has that band passed by?" And he said, "No, I don't know." In daily life, you find this at home, that you're very much absorbed, and someone calls you, but you don't hear, although your ears are open. Similarly, somebody comes and sits by you, comes and then goes away, and you're so much in a reverie that you do not know who came and who went away. Well, what is that? That is our attention, the expression of our soul, which is riveted, controlled. That outgoing faculty, even though it's open, can't work. So the first thing is to have control over our outgoing faculties, you see? That you control with one thing, if you can control your attention on some certain subject in a disciplined way. In that case, what will happen? Your outgoing faculties won't drag you away. Now, you are passing by and your eyes see beautiful scenery or something and you're dragged like anything. You have developed the habit of going somewhere. There's some scenery or some cinema or anything. You don't want to go, but your legs go that way, and habit becomes nature. This is the natural way, so we must have control over the senses. Then only will we be able to withdraw within, from outside, to find God. And where is God? We seek Him in the Scriptures. In the Scriptures are given the experiences of the past masters who found God. And they say, tap inside. The very soul of your soul is within you. You are residing in the body, and that very controlling power is also within you. Wherever a thing is, if you would like to find it, you will have to go where it is. So the nearest approach to God is within us, direct, controlling us in the body. To invert to see Him, we must first withdraw from outside. And to withdraw from outside, we must be able to concentrate our attention in a certain way to have it under control. And this is one thing. Now, from the burning sun, if you come into the vestibule of a building, you feel relief. But that is not sufficient. You feel relief, of course, but you have to rise above the senses, and there you find God. First, you have to withdraw from outside. For that, the best way, easiest, natural way, the God-made way, is the controlling of your attention, withdrawing from outside. But you cannot withdraw from outside. It is a difficult thing. I will give you an example. A child is shut in a dark room. What will he do? He'll break the doors, crying. But if the child finds something very interesting, very attractive, very fascinating within, he'll keep quiet. So our mind, why does it not stay inside? It runs away outside because it sees some pleasure in the outside things. And the outside pleasures can be divided into two main types. One, good scenery and beauty. The other, very enchanting, fascinating sounds and singing voices. Outwardly, these are the two main things that always attract our attention outside. And we've been having this from day to day. That day-to-day practice has become a habit in us. And habits have become nature, our nature. This habit we have to unravel. And we can only unravel it if we find something more fascinating, more interesting within us. And God has provided that thing also within you. And what is that? God is Word, which is the controlling power of your soul within the body. And that Word, the God into action power, has two aspects, God in light and God in the sweet symphony of sound. And we're going to leave off there and finish up next time when the Master will tell about how to practically go within and get it. And just one more short reading. This is a poem of Kabir. And it's kind of like what Sanchi has been saying in our recent satsangs of his that we've been reading, that Sanchi was doing the same thing, a soul crying out, yearning, wanting God. So God came to him. So Kabir says, "A sore pain troubles me day and night, and I cannot sleep. I long for the meeting with my beloved, and my father's house gives me pleasure no more. The gates of the sky are opened, the temple is revealed. I meet my husband and leave at his feet the offering of my body and my mind." And our tape is a satsang of Sanchi's, a talk that he gave here at Sant Bani in July of 1980. This is one of the talks in what became known as the Manmukh and Gurumukh series. So he's commenting on a hymn of Guru Ram Das. And it says, there's a little note on the bottom, the margins are not synchronized here, so I'm going to have to wait for a little time. At the end of this side, we're almost at the end of side A, so I'll have to wait for just a little while before I turn it over.
Har har japai, har da bhagat pragat nahi chapai.
24 hours a day, one who does the meditation, one who repeats the name of Lord, such a devotee cannot remain hidden.
Jene nirpaunam te aaya, jinko po koi nahi, hare uttam tini sari. जिनको तुर लिखिया
हुन कहंदे कि जिने लोक लाज नु छड़ के दुनिया दे डर तो उपर हो के अपने गुरु दे दिते हुए नाम दी कमाई कीती गुरु नु प्रगट कीता कहन लगे ओनु दुनिया दा कोई डर नहीं गा क्योंकि ओदा राखा ओदा गुरु है.
Now he said that he who meditated according to the instructions of the master, rising above the public shame and the threat of the people, He is never afraid of the people because his master, his God, is protecting him.
Te har dar gain penahi hai, jin har man utha, jin har utha man mahi, we aap tari sab. कुटंब स्यों तिन पिछे सब जग
ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਦਰਗਾਹ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਾਮ ਜਪਣ ਵਾਲਿਆਂ ਦਾ ਮਾਣ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸੱਚੀ ਇੱਜ਼ਤ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਆਪ ਤਾਂ ਉਹ ਤਾਰੀ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਆਪਣੀਆਂ ਉਕੁਲਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਤਾਰ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਅਗਰ ਸਾਰਾ ਵੀ ਜਗਤ ਉਹਦੇ ਕਹਿਣ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਆ ਜਾਵੇ ਤਾਂ ਸਾਰਾ ਜਗਤ ਵੀ ਤਰ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਨਾਉ ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਦ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਟਰਸ ਆਫ ਨਾਮ ਆਰ ਆਨਰਡ ਇਨ ਦ ਕੋਰਟ ਆਫ ਲਾਰਡ ਐਂਡ ਗੋਡ ਗਿਵਸ ਦੈਮ ਦ ਰੀਅਲ ਰਿਸਪੈਕਟ, ਦ ਟਰੂ ਰਿਸਪੈਕਟ, ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਦੈਮਸੈਲਵਸ ਗੈਟ ਲਿਬਰੇਸ਼ਨ ਐਂਡ ਮੋਰਓਵਰ ਦੇ ਬਿਕਮ ਦ ਕੌਜ਼ ਆਫ ਲਿਬਰੇਸ਼ਨ ਫਾਰ ਦੈਰ ਜਨਰੇਸ਼ਨ, ਫਾਰ ਦ ਫੈਮਿਲੀਜ਼, ਐਂਡ ਈਵਨ ਇਫ ਆਲ ਦ ਪੀਪਲ ਆਫ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਫੋਲੋ ਦੈਮ, ਦੇ ਆਲ ਕੈਨ ਗੈਟ ਲਿਬਰੇਸ਼ਨ।
ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਜੀ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਕਿ ਸਤਸੰਗੀ ਦੀ ਕੁਲ ਤਰ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ, ਅੱਛਾ ਜੋ ਕੋਈ ਸਤਸੰਗੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਵਾਲਾ ਹੈ ਉਹਦੀਆਂ ਕਈ ਕੁਲਾਂ ਤਰ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹੈ, ਗੁਰਮੁਖ ਦੀਆਂ ਅਣਗਿਣਤੀ ਕੁਲਾਂ ਤਰ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹੈ।
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਹਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਸ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਵਨ ਜਨਰੇਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਦ ਸਤਸੰਗੀ ਗੈਟਸ ਲਿਬਰੇਸ਼ਨ, ਐਂਡ ਦ ਸਤਸੰਗੀ ਹੂ ਇਜ਼ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ, ਅ ਗੁਡ ਸਤਸੰਗੀ ਇਜ਼ ਮੈਨੀ ਜਨਰੇਸ਼ਨਸ ਗੈਟ ਲਿਬਰੇਸ਼ਨ, ਐਂਡ ਨਿਊਮਰਸ ਜਨਰੇਸ਼ਨਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਗੁਰਮੁਖਸ ਗੈਟ ਲਿਬਰੇਸ਼ਨ।
ਜਾਣੇ ਨਾਨਕ ਕੋ ਹਰ ਮੀਲ ਜਨ ਤਿਨ ਵੇਖ ਵੇਖ ਹਮ ਜੀਵਾਏ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਫਰਿਆਦ ਕਰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਹੇ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ, ਸਾਨੂੰ ਐਸਾ ਸੰਤ ਸਾਧੂ ਤੂੰ ਮਿਲਾ ਤਾਂ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਵੇਖ ਵੇਖ ਕੇ ਰਜੀਏ ਨਾ, ਔਰ ਸਾਡੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਉਹਦਾ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਹੈ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਰਿਕੁਐਸਟ ਟੂ ਲਾਰਡ ਦੈਟ ਓ ਲਾਰਡ ਯੂ ਮੇਕ ਅਸ ਮੀਟ ਸੱਚ ਸਾਧੂ, ਸੱਚ ਅ ਸੇਂਟ, ਸੋ ਦੈਟ ਆਫਟਰ ਮੀਟਿੰਗ ਹਿਮ ਵੀ ਮੇ ਲੁੱਕ ਐਟ ਹਿਮ, ਵੀ ਮੇ ਹੈਵ ਹਿਸ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ, ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਹਿਸ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਇਜ਼ ਅਵਰ ਲਾਈਫ ਐਂਡ ਵੀ ਵਿਲ ਨਾਟ ਬੀ ਸੈਟਿਸਫਾਈਡ ਈਵਨ ਆਫਟਰ ਹੈਵਿੰਗ ਅ ਲਾਰਡ ਆਫ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਹਿਮ।
ਧਰਤੀ ਪਈ ਹਰਿਆਵਲੀ ਜਿੱਥੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰ ਬੈਠਾ ਸੀ, ਜੰਤ ਪਏ ਹਰਿਆਵਲੇ ਜਿਨੀ ਮੇਰਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰ ਦੇਖਿਆ ਜਾਏ।
ਹੁਣ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਧਰਤੀ ਭਾਗਾਂ ਵਾਲੀ ਹੈ, ਜਿੱਥੇ ਐਸੇ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਬੈਠਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਧਰਤੀ ਪੂਜਾ ਦੇ ਕਾਬਲ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਜੰਤ ਹੈ ਉਸ ਦਾ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਵੀ ਮਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਆਉਂਦੀ ਹੈ।
ਨਾਉ ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਦ ਲੈਂਡ ਵੇਅਰ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਆਰ ਬੋਰਨ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਲੈਂਡ ਵੇਅਰ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਗੋ ਐਂਡ ਸਿਟ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਬਲੈਸਡ ਵਨ, ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਰਥ ਵਰਸ਼ਿਪਿੰਗ, and the creatures, those who go to have the darshan of such masters, they are also most fortunate ones, because because when they go to have the darshan of the masters, their mind gets peace.
Tan tan pita tan tan kul tan tan so janani jin guru janiya ma ਤਨ ਤਨ ਗੁਰੂ ਜਿਨੇ ਨਾਮ ਅਰਾਧਿਆ ਆਪ ਤਰਿਆ ਜਿਨੀ ਡਿੱਠਾ ਤਿਨ ਲੈ ਛੁੜਾਈ।
ਹੁਣ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਧਨ ਉਹ ਕੁਲ ਹੈ ਜਿਸ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਉਹ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੋਇਆ, ਧਨ ਉਹਦੇ ਮਾਤਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਸਨ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੇ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਜਨਮ ਦਿੱਤਾ, ਫਿਰ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਧਨ ਉਹ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਸੀ ਜਿਹਨੇ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਦੀ ਮਾਨ ਵਿਡਿਆਈ, ਵਿਸ਼ੇ ਬਕਾਰਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਲੱਤ ਮਾਰ ਕੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕੀਤੀ, ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਕੀ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਦਿੱਤੀ, ਉਹ ਆਪ ਤਰ ਗਿਆ, ਜਿਹੜਾ ਵੀ ਉਸ ਦਾ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਦਰਗਾਹ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਛੁਡਾ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਬਲੈਸਡ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਫੈਮਿਲੀ ਇਨ ਵਿੱਚ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਵਾਸ ਬੋਰਨ, and blessed are the parents which gave birth to such a master, and blessed is that master who did the meditation of Shabad Naam after kicking the worldly pleasures. And what does God gives to such a master? God liberates such a master, and God gives such a glory to such masters that those who go to have the darshan of such masters, they are also made free in the court of law.
Hare Satgur Milo Daya Kare Jane Nanak Tuven Paayin Podi. ਸੱਚਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰ ਅਮਰ ਹੈ ਜਿਸ ਅੰਦਰ ਹਰ
ਹੁਣ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਫਰਿਆਦ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਐਸਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਮੇਲ ਤਾਂ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਹਦੇ ਚਰਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਲੱਗੇ ਰਹੀਏ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰੀਏ
ਨਾਉ ਅਗੇਨ ਹੀ ਮੇਕਸ ਅ ਰਿਕੁਐਸਟ ਮੇਕਸ ਅ ਪ੍ਰੇਅਰ ਟੂ ਲਾਰਡ ਦੈਟ ਓ ਲਾਰਡ ਯੂ ਮੇਕ ਅਸ ਮੀਟ ਸੱਚ ਅ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਸੋ ਦੈਟ ਵੀ ਮੇ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਰਿਮੇਨ ਅਟੈਚਡ ਟੂ ਹਿਸ ਫੀਟ ਐਂਡ ਵੀ ਮੇ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਰਿਮੇਨ ਇਨ ਲਵ ਵਿਦ ਹਿਮ
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਗੁਰੂ ਮਰਦਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਿਰਫ ਚੋਲਾ ਬਦਲਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਉਸ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ
He says that Master never dies, he only changes his body because God is manifested in the Master.
Sach sacha sat gure purakh hai jinne kaam karud vikh mariya
Hun kehnde satguru kul malik hai usne kaam krod loh moh hankar nu ਵਸ ਕੀਤਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਉਸਨੇ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦੇ ਆਪਣੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਹੀ ਮਹਿਨੇ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਟਾਲੀ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ
ਨਾ ਹੀ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਇਜ਼ ਆਲ ਓਨਰ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਕੰਟਰੋਲਡ ਲਸਟ ਐਂਗਰ ਗ੍ਰੀਡ ਅਟੈਚਮੈਂਟ ਐਂਡ ਈਗੋਇਜ਼ਮ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਮੋਲਡ ਹਿਸ ਲਾਈਫ ਇਨ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਮੋਲਡ ਹਿਸ ਲਾਈਫ ਇਨ ਸੱਚ ਅ ਵੇ ਇਨ ਅ ਕਰੈਕਟ ਵੇ
ਜਾਨ ਡਿੱਠਾ ਪੂਰਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ
ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਬਲਿਹਾਰ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਆਪਣੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਉਸਨੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਜੀਵਨ ਬਣਾਇਆ ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਗੁਰਮੁਖ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦੇ ਜਾਮੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਦੀ ਬਾਜੀ ਜਿੱਤ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਮਨਮੁਖ ਇੱਥੇ ਕਾਮ ਕ੍ਰੋਧ ਲੋਭ ਮੋਹ ਹੰਕਾਰ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਹਾਰ ਕੇ ਚਲੇ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ
ਨਾਉ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਸੈਕਰੀਫਾਈਜ਼ ਮਾਈਸੈਲਫ ਔਨ ਮਾਈ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਹੂ ਮੇਡ ਮਾਈ ਲਾਈਫ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਗੁਰਮੁਖਸ ਵਿਨ ਦੇਅਰ ਬੋਡੀ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਲਾਈਫ They utilize their body and they go back to their home, whereas the Manmukhs always lose in this world. They always lose the battle because they are always obeying the lust, anger and all the passions and that is why they never utilize their body.
Gurmukh laha lai chale, Manmukh chale mool guvaye jiyo.
Gurmukhs take the profit, whereas the Manmukhs even lose their capital.
ਕਰ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰ ਮਿਲਿਓਨ ਮੁਖ ਗੁਰਮੁਖ ਨਾਮ ਤੇ
ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਸਮੁੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਆਤਮਾ ਉਸ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਉਸ ਦੀ ਲਹਿਰ ਹੈ ਆਤਮਾ ਉਸ ਦੀ ਬੂੰਦ ਹੈ ਸਮੁੰਦਰ ਵੀ ਪਾਣੀ ਹੈ ਲਹਿਰ ਵੀ ਪਾਣੀ ਹੈ ਬੂੰਦ ਵੀ ਪਾਣੀ ਹੈ ਜਦ ਅਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਖਿਆਲ ਨੂੰ ਫੈਲੇ ਹੋਏ ਨੂੰ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਲਿਆਉਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਜਿੱਥੇ ਸਾਡਾ ਸੋਚਣ ਦਾ ਸੈਂਟਰ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਉਸ ਵਕਤ ਸਾਡੀ ਜੋ ਆਤਮਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੀ ਲਹਿਰ ਕਿਆ ਧੁਨ ਨੂੰ ਪਕੜਦੀ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਇਹ ਵੀ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਜਦ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਆਪਦੇ ਘਰ ਵਾਪਸ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਫਿਰ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਵੀ ਪਾਣੀ ਸੀ ਇਹ ਵੀ ਪਾਣੀ ਹੈ ਮੈਂ ਐਵੇਂ ਭੁੱਲੀ ਰਹੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਆਪ ਦਾ ਹੁਕਮ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਉਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਲੋਂ ਤੁਲਕ ਤੋੜ ਕੇ ਖੋ ਲਿਆ ਹੈ ਹੁਣ ਜਦ ਇਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਅਸੀਂ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦੇ ਜਾਮੇ 'ਚ ਜੋੜ ਸਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਤਾਂ ਇਹਦੀ ਪਹਿਲੇ ਜੈਸੀ ਹਾਲਤ ਫਿਰ ਹੋ ਸਕਦੀ ਹੈ ਕਿਆ ਇਹਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਉਸ ਪਰਮ ਪਿਤਾ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਪੁੱਤਰੀ ਹੈ ਉਹਦੀ ਬੇਟੀ ਹੈ ਮੈਂ ਮਨ ਦੇ ਆਖੇ ਲੱਗ ਕੇ ਭੁੱਲ ਗਈ, ਆਪਦੇ ਘਰ ਨੂੰ, ਆਪਦੇ ਅਸਲੇ ਨੂੰ ਭੁੱਲ ਗਈ.
ਗੋਡ ਇਜ਼ ਐਨ ਓਸ਼ਨ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦ ਸਾਊਂਡ ਕਰੰਟ ਇਜ਼ ਹਿਸ ਵੇਵ ਐਂਡ ਅਵਰ ਸੋਲ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਡਰੋਪ ਆਫ ਦੈਟ ਓਸ਼ਨ. ਦ ਡਰੋਪ ਇਜ਼ ਆਲਸੋ ਵਾਟਰ, ਦ ਵੇਵ ਇਜ਼ ਆਲਸੋ ਵਾਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਦੀ ਓਸ਼ਨ ਇਜ਼ ਆਲਸੋ ਵਾਟਰ. ਇਨ ਦ ਸੇਮ ਵੇ ਵੈਨ we withdraw our soul from the body and bring it at the eye center, this is the place from where we think. So when we bring our soul there, the sound current or the shabad, which is the wave of the ocean, which is God, our soul climbs that wave, climbs that shabad and goes back to God. And then she realizes that she was not different than the sound current and the sound current was not different than God. All the three were one and the same thing. And then she realizes that she had lost her control over the mind because she got separated from the Shabad, she got separated from God, and that is why she has become the slave of mind. And when the soul gets the human body, and if the soul does the devotion of Lord and withdraws from all the outer things and again connects herself with the Shabad and goes back to God, only in that case the soul can gain the control of the over the mind which she had lost.
ਬੜ ਦਾ ਦਰਖਤ ਬਹੁਤ ਬੜਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਬੀਜ ਉਸਦਾ ਬਹੁਤ ਛੋਟਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ. ਅਗਰ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਕੋਈ ਇਹ ਸਮਝਾਵੇ ਕਿ ਛੋਟੇ ਜਿਹੇ ਬੀਜ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬਹੁਤ ਬੜਾ ਬੜ ਦਾ ਦਰਖਤ ਹੈ, ਸਾਡੇ ਕਦੇ ਵੀ ਸਮਝ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਆਉਂਦਾ ਗਾ. ਜਦ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਜੁਗਤੀ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜ਼ਮੀਨ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬੋ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਛੋਟਾ ਜਿਹਾ ਪੌਦਾ ਬਣ ਕੇ ਬਾਹਰ ਨਿਕਲਦਾ ਹੈ, ਐਸਤੇ ਪਰਵਰਿਸ਼ ਪਾ ਕੇ ਉਹ ਬਹੁਤ ਬੜਾ ਦਰਖਤ ਬਣ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ. ਫਿਰ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਸ ਛੋਟੇ ਜਿਹੇ ਬੀਜ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਕਿੱਡਾ ਬੜਾ ਦਰਖਤ ਸੀਗਾ, ਔਰ ਪੱਤੇ ਡਾਣੇ ਸਭ ਕੁਛ ਇਸ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਲੁਕੇ ਹੋਏ ਸੀਗੇ.
ਦ ਸੀਡ ਆਫ ਦ ਬਨੀਅਨ ਟ੍ਰੀ ਇਜ਼ ਵੈਰੀ ਸਮਾਲ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਬਨੀਅਨ ਟ੍ਰੀ ਇਟਸੈਲਫ ਇਜ਼ ਵੈਰੀ ਬਿਗ ਵੈਨ ਇਟ ਹੈਜ਼ ਗਰੋਨ ਟੂ ਇਟਸ ਐਕਸਟ੍ਰੀਮ. ਬਟ ਇਫ ਸਮਵਨ ਟੈਲਸ ਅਸ that in this little seed the big banyan tree is hidden, the branches and numerous leaves are there, we will not believe him. But when we sow that seed in the ground and when that comes out as a plant and when we go on nourishing it, and one day when the tree grows big, then we realize that all these things have come out from that little seed. But when someone tells us that in the seed is a big tree, we will not believe.
Guru Sahib kende atam mein ram, ram mein atam, cheen se guru vichara. San beshak sadi atma de andar parmatma hai, parmatma de andar atma hai, lekin sanu is di soji us waqt aundi hai jad assi apni mat chhad ke gurmukhan di mat de utte chalde hain.
Guru Sahib tells us that God is in soul and soul is in God, but we can understand this secret only when we think over the teachings of the masters. Masters tell us that no doubt God is within you, within your soul, and in the God is within the soul, and in the soul there is God. But we come to know about this secret only when we give up our own teachings, our own understandings, and follow the teachings of the Gurumukhs. Only then we understand this.
To Guru.
And we will conclude our satsang with Sanchi's Bhajan, Satguru Sona Mera, page 115. Oh, my friends, my beautiful Satguru is Kirpal. He is merciful on the poor. I was separated for so many births and was searching for the dearly beloved. May I meet the perfect master so that I may go across. Now I have got the husband, the emperor, who takes care of me. O friends, wandering from door to door, I became very crazy. I did not get any knower of the heart. No one heard my plea. O friends, now I have got my beloved, the support of my heart, the treasure of Shabd. I did the practices of water, performing in the austerities, and bathed in the places of pilgrimage. I worshipped in the temples and holy places, but no one shared the pain. O friends, my beloved has come and has put me on the path and makes me see him. Listen, O beloved Kripal, make everyone have the beautiful darshan. The life of Ajab is full of bad qualities. Take him across. O friends, the true saint has come. My husband has come, and he loves me. O friends, my beautiful Satguru is Kripal. He is merciful on the poor.
Satguru sona mera he kirpal niseyo din dayal niseyo Satguru sona mera he kirpal niseyo din dayal niseyo kai janmato vichadisi me labdi pritam pyara satguru pura mil jaye menu ho jaye para utara kai janmato vichadisi me labdi pritam pyara Satguru pura mil jaye menu ho jaye para utara ni mil gaya mahi mera ni shahe na shahi mera ni mil gaya mahi mera ni shahe na shahi mera kare sambhal ni sayo Din dayal ni sayo Satguru sona mera He kirpal ni sayo Din dayal ni sayo Sayo ni me dar dar firke Dadi pagal hoi Dil da jaane koi na miliya, na suni har joi. Sahiyo ni me dar dar firke, dadi pagal hoi. Dil da jaane koi na miliya, na suni har joi. Ni mil gaya pyara. Mera ni dili sahara, mera ni mil gaya pyara, mera ni dili sahara, mera shabd bandar ni sayo, din dayal ni sayo, satguru sona mera. He kirpal ni sayo, din dayal ni sayo. Jal dare hor dune tapke, tata tirat naya. Shiv dwale te mandir puje, kise na duk vandaya. Jal dare hor dune tapke tata tirat naya Shiv dwale te mandir puje kise na duk vandaya ni meira mahi aya ni menu rasate paya ni meira mahi Aya ni menu rasate paya dave didar ni sayo din dayal ni sayo satguru sona mera he kirpal ni sayo din dayal ni sayo Sohna darshadikavo sabnu, sunakirpal piyare. He bapari ajaib di jindari, lavo parakinare. सोना दर्श दिखावो सबनु सुन कृपाल प्यारे ए बाबारिया चाय बदी जिंदरी लावो पार किनारे निसाचा संत आया नि मेरा कंत आया निसाचा संत आया नि मेरा कंत आया करे प्यार नि सयो दीन दयाल नि सयो सतगुरु सोना मेरा हे कृपाल नि सयो दीन दयाल नि सयो.
Listen, O beloved Kripal, make everyone have the beautiful darshan. The life of Ajab is full of bad qualities. Take him across. O friends, the true saint has come. My husband has come, and he loves me. O friends, my beautiful Satguru is Kripal. He is merciful on the poor. May God bless us all.